Yes. Hello, this is Glenn Krause from Core CDI. I'm very privileged today to have on the podcast a very accomplished revenue cycle CDI case management professional I've known for years. Very, very knowledgeable in CDI. She's passionate as I am about CDI and transforming CDI, working in collaboration truly synergistically with case management. You are CDI together on behalf of the physician and ultimately the patient to make sure they get the right care at the right time, at the right reason, with the right documentation, with the right financial responsibility. And Julie right now is down in sunny, warm Florida, enjoying the time down there with 80 degrees. And she's the director. She's privileged to be the director of Central Florida Health, a two-hospital system, and she's doing a remarkable job and driving down denial. So, Julie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a couple of things we want to cover today with Julie. And so I think really the gist is medical necessity is the backbone of CDI. And as I mentioned, I was having a conversation with Julie, very lively conversation about CDI and the role of CDI in helping case management, you are drive accuracy and ensuring at least avoiding adverse level of care determinations and back-end medical necessity denial. So first thing I want to really go over is, Julie, what role does CDI play in accurate level of care determinations, working closely in collaboration with case management and you are? So what do you see CDI today in your practice at your facility, and where do you see CDI really capitalize upon the opportunity to work closely with case management and you are?
Well, what I see in most CDI programs is, the queries for the CCs and the MCCs, and I think that's good, that's good practice. But another thing is that it doesn't really matter how many CCs and MCCs you have if we don't have the documentation to support medical necessity for the inpatient stay, then very often the managed care companies will downgrade those to observation or outpatient stays. So I think a real good start for a CDI program is to build that relationship with the physicians and educate and help them understand the need for the documentation to support medical necessity for inpatient. And they really need to say why they think that patient needs to be inpatient. I know one good thing we always did was when a new physician came on staff, we had a CDI nurse sit down and a case manager sit down with them and let them know, what we can do for them to help them support that level of care in their documentation. It helps the physician, it helps the hospital, it really, really helps the patient. You don't want to be downgraded to an observation stay and then, have to leave the hospital early, or you don't get the care that you deserved.
And so let me ask you a question because I think this dovetails in this question. That's a good point, Julie. When you see a downgrade, potential downgrade, or a real downgrade, okay? What things are missing from the chart that CDI could help with? Can you remember a case that you had recently that it would have been helpful for the documentation to be more effective? And when I say more effective, I'm not looking for more documentation, because then the case manager and you are, they already have to go through 20 pages of information in H&P to find maybe a few sentences that really help them.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is often downgraded is like sepsis, and okay. I think sometimes it's because the documentation doesn't clearly say as evidenced by, and they can use the lactic acid, they can use elevated heart rate, but they could also put in clinical symptoms. What does the patient really look like? We don't want every patient to be lying comfortably in the bed with no complaints. So we really need that documentation to support what does that patient really look like lying in that bed. If we all look that comfortable, then we all could be at home in our own beds. So, and sometimes those patients with sepsis turn around quickly. And again, we need that documentation by the physician that supports, patient improved more rapidly than expected or responded well to, you know, the plan of care and the treatment as defined, you know. So I think using those that terminology as evidenced by, let's get a clear picture of what that patient looks like. And then if the patient does turn around quickly, because that's what they want to downgrade our short stays, you know, patients can come in pretty sick, but medicine these days can help them improve pretty quickly. And I think that sometimes we don't have the documentation that says why that patient turned around quickly and actually how sick they looked when they came into the hospital.
And particularly when patients with this early focus upon sepsis identification, because we know every hour that's the diagnosis is delayed.
Yeah, and that will really help with, you know, our ratings and, you know, scorecards and that kind of thing. So
right. I think part of the issue is Julie, tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I'm seeing in my practice, is that, and I'm not trying to be negative, I'm trying to educate our CDI professionals and revenue cycle professionals and case managers, whoever wants to listen, that it's not just the clinical indicators, it's the picture that's portrayed and reflected in the medical record. So I see oftentimes, like, okay, sepsis. We query for sepsis, but if you look under the physical exam, it will say constitutional. Under the constitutional part of the physical exam, it will say patient alert no AN times 3 and no distress resting in bed. Do you see that?
That's what we see a lot. Yep, subjective patient resting in bed, no complaints.
On day two, so here you are, let's say it's a weekend or it came in, let's say they came in at 2 in the morning. Well, we have case management 7 days a week, but we don't have case management 24/7. We may have it in the ER, but not on the floor. So they're on the floor. The doctor comes to see the patient, does an H&P. He's telling us the glass is half full. The patient really needs to be described as half empty. What led me to think that the patient needs to be in the hospital? And I think, what are your thoughts? I think we do a pretty good job of handicapping case management and UI with the present documentation we have today. Do you agree?
I do, and I see a lot of the ability to do a lot of cut and paste. So sometimes I've even seen where the ER documentation is included in the H&P and followed through with every progress note and then on the discharge summary. So it gets out of context, and I think that if we could avoid cut and paste, I think that would also help support medical.
Well, I agree. What are your thoughts, Julie, on copy and edit? I don't think we're ever gonna cut. The only way to stop copy and paste indiscriminately is to educate our physicians and short of actually turning off the feature. What would cause a ruckus and a revolt.
Right. But I do think if they could edit them and, you know, put their thoughts, you know, this is what it looked like, but this is what we have now, update, but really show that true picture of that patient.
And then look at the
comorbidities and make sure that you have documented how sick your patient is, you know, and really emphasize that severity of illness, risk of mortality.
Now, let me ask you a question. That brings me into another question. Where do you think, where should, I know the typical CDI program, and I'm just calling it like it is, we know that CDI, to me, is transactional, repetitive, and reactionary. We look at the record 24 hours after this day, usually, or depending if it's on a weekend, we don't have coverage. And we look at the stay and we're retrospectively asking for a diagnosis, which really presents a problem because we're asking for acute respiratory failure a day after the patient comes in. And of course, we've got great care in the ER and continued up on the floor. So the patient's no longer in respiratory failure. So the doctor's charting respiratory failure when the patient's truly not in respiratory failure, but that's the reason for admission. Unfortunately, outside reviewers use that to their advantage to say we don't see respiratory failure because it wasn't documented upon admission. It was after the fact. So,
well, and they could document, you know, resolving and, you know, what the patient presented with and how the you know, and describe the treatment that the patient received and how they responded to the treatment, put that in the HMP so that you can support that patient, you know, acute respiratory failure resolving or, you know, responding well to, you know, the plan of care. So I think
they would... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I'm just thinking that we really, on behalf of the patient and the physician, tell me if you agree with this statement, that we really need to reposition CDI and we be more proactive. So you see denials in your facility, two hospital systems, Central Florida, okay? As director of case management, you see
I'm only over one of the hospitals. We actually have a case management director in each hospital, so that's...
Okay, so at your facility, which is the larger one, correct?
Nope, actually, we're the smaller.
you're not just the small. You run the best shop there, right?
That's
so,
right.
So how could CD be? Where should CDI begin, and what do we need to do to transform like CDI to be more proactive? You see denials, you see medical necessity denials, you see adverse level care determinations. Tell me, what do you see the model of CDI, case management, you are working together? So if you had the ideal situation where you could run a preferred model, okay, ideally, what would you like to see to really transform the communication of patient care to the extent the record speaks for itself, and your staff can do the best for the physician and the patient with solid communication of care?
Well, that would be near nirvana, but I think that, you know, case management is a broad statement. So you've got your case management UM side. So if CDI align themselves with utilization management and coding and worked in conjunction with the case managers, so case managers often get caught up in just doing interqual review and discharge planning.
Okay.
I think, you know, CDI, if they looked at that medical record looking for medical necessity in the HNP and actually sit with physicians and talk to them about what we need to support the patient to be inpatient as well as clarifying and capturing the severity of illness, you know, with CCs and MCCs, I think that would be amazing. CDI and case management working in conjunction with each other. You know, I have UM nurses working on levels of care, and then they go out and talk to physicians and say, you know, this patient actually meets inpatient, but you'd meet inpatient if you document, you know, clarify some of the statements and that kind of thing. So I think...
Right, yeah, and that's what I find to be, when I worked at the UMC Las Vegas, this is how the model worked, is I said to myself, why should we have two different departments looking at the same record for two different reasons? It's almost like we're not talking to each other. So it dawned on me, why don't we have the same knowledge and skill set to the extent that training was done? I provided educational training and knowledge sharing using denials, using medical necessity denials as the key factor in the educational sessions to say, okay, here's a denial. We don't have information to support the clinical facts and information and context. Here's potentially what would have helped in driving and avoidance of medical of denial, because that's what it's really about, right? Denial, avoidance, not doing rework, not having to appeal.
Exactly.
So I'm on your side. If we both have the same knowledge and skill sets and understanding and appreciation for what is the standard of documentation, we have a unified message that we can provide to the physician on behalf of the patient. I think that's the piece that's missing from our programs of CDI, is we're treating the record as a reimbursement tool and not a communication tool. And the case managers find it hard, and UM staff, to complete their to carry out their role effectively without good communication. Is that what you're saying in your facility too?
Absolutely. Yep.
We're missing key points of the history of PrEP. We should be focusing on the H&P. Like you said, like you said, Julie, in our conversation last week, without medical necessity, we don't have payment. So it doesn't matter. It's really immaterial what CCs and MCCs we capture, optimized DRG. A 10% increase in a case mix index for a particular case, so relative weight, has no bearing if we don't get paid on the case.
That's right. You know, Glenn, when we met, I can't remember how many years ago, and you got me started in CDI. At a small rural hospital up in Pennsylvania, you know, I had 40 beds, and any denial in a small hospital like that, I took kind of personally. So, you know, you got me introduced to CDI, so I was the case manager, the UM department, denials, and CDI. And so when I looked at our record, I looked at it on all levels. And because I knew, you know, we needed a reimbursement, we didn't want to get a denial, but we wanted to ensure, you know, that the physicians were documenting, you know, exactly what they did. So it was kind of a wonderful experience to be able to sit with the physicians and let them understand why I was asking the questions. We would have the dialogue. We didn't have to write a lot of queries because we could, you know, talk about the cases, and they really soon understood, you know, they weren't having to do the peer-to-peer with the medical directors. It was a satisfier for both the physicians, the hospital, and the patients. So that was a unique experience in seeing how case management, UM, and CDI can work together when you wear all the hats.
That's right.
In a small hospital, you know.
Yeah, and you did a wonderful job, Julie. So I just want to close with a couple of points, the idea, questions, or closing remarks. How would you, let's say you had to make a case for CDI working more closely with case management and UM. What message would you formulate to your C-suite? Because I'm finding, and your input is well appreciated, I'm finding that CDI's professionals want to transform and reposition themselves to be more proactive in working with physicians. But unfortunately, we have these KPIs that are statistic-based, like number of queries left, what's the response rate, how many times you pick up a chart, how long did it take for you to open up the chart. How do we get away from those KPIs that are counterintuitive and counterproductive? They're actually working with case management and UM to affect positive change.
Well, I think if they saw some reduction in denials, they would respond really well. You know, and I think if you talk to them and you help them understand C-suite that, you know, if we have that medical necessity documented in that chart, you know, and we're going to avoid those denials, that is a big satisfier. So, you know, satisfier all the way around.
And yeah, doctor, okay. Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
Nope, that's all.
Thanks. So, Julie, I guess I would you say, as a case management director, UM, that we could potentially, on behalf of the patient, reduce our denial significantly, let's say 30-40% ultimately, with CDI and case management, UM working together. Is that possible?
I think it's possible, yes.
With today's model.
Mm-hmm.
Not with today's model.
No, because we're not talking to each other. We're not communicating at all.
Yeah, so that's my key point. So I guess I want to summarize what our discussion is, and maybe you can just chime in briefly. The ideal model of CDI is working closely with case management, UM, on behalf of the patient to help affect positive change, not in just the diagnosis, in the communication of patient care. Treat the record as a communication tool, not only a reimbursement tool. That should be the outcome of solid documentation. And if we have the right care documented at the right time and the right venue, with the right clinical judgment, which is, I believe, the limiting factor in all the documentation, we got the clinical indicators to say sepsis. but we don't have the doctor's thoughts on how did he arrive at that diagnosis. What led him to think that this patient needed to be admitted based on the clinical picture, describing the clinical picture accurately, finding the patient in the story, and then the case managers and UM can do their job more effectively, their important role, and at the end of the day, we got right care at the right time with the right clinical judgment, and we got the right payment with the right coding. Is that a good synopsis?
That is an excellent synopsis, yes.
Okay, well, Julie, I really appreciate your time today, taking out your time out of your busy schedule, your insight, and your insight and thought processes are well appreciated. And so this concludes our podcast for today. If you haven't seen some of our podcasts that have been previously recorded, you can go to the core-cdi.com website. And if there's any, and look on the podcast, and if there's any topics that you'd like to have potentially as a podcast, please let me know. Thanks for listening.